What better place to be doing what than what we're doing and who we're doing it with today? What a blessing it is to think on these things and to draw near to God and allow Him to affect our hearts and minds so that not just today, but each day, we walk with Him. Thank you for the brothers who lead us in such a sincere fashion, and thank you for your participation in this gathering today. Albert Einstein migrated to America because of the rising persecution against Jewish people in Nazi Germany. And he landed squarely on his feet because he was offered a position at Princeton University. And he worked for years at Princeton. And he lived in the general vicinity of the campus, and he would walk between his house and his office. And he got to the point where he had to carry a small piece of paper with a phone number written on it. Here's why. Several times while walking between his office and his home, he forgot where his home was. And on that slip of paper was not the address, but a phone number. And he would drop into a cafe or a store, and he would borrow their phone. And that phone number, also that he couldn't remember, was the number of his office. He would ring up his secretary, and he would tell her where he was, and then she would direct him how to get home. Yeah, Albert Einstein. Also, it was learned later that when he lived in Germany and he took the commuter train, that he would forget to get off at his stop, and he would just stay on the train until it made its circuit, and then he would get off at the right time. Now, it's pretty clear what was happening with Einstein. Einstein was known for his thought experiments. And so Einstein was focused on grander things than where his house was or which stop he was supposed to make on the train. His mind was on the extraordinary, so he was oblivious to the ordinary. But it was a form of forgetfulness. There are various forms of forgetfulness. You may forget to pick up bread at the store on the way home for some reason. You may forget the name of that neighbor who lived two houses down from you 20 years ago. And then some people suffer from dementia or some other condition of the brain, where because of aging and disease, they have a diminishing ability to remember things. But there's a type of forgetfulness that's talked about in the Bible that is different than all of those. And it represents a spiritual flaw that results in spiritual damage. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and think with me about the idea of forgetting God. Our readings are a little ahead of where we're at right now, just barely, but we recently read in chapter 12 about Samuel's farewell address to Israel as Saul has become king and his days are at his end is at hand. Saul's days are numbered. And I want you to note something he says to Israel in 1 Samuel 12, verse 8 and 9. When Jacob went into Egypt and the Egyptians oppressed them, then your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Some of the work that we've been doing in this part of the Old Testament lately has been looking at how the Israelites, after they take the land of Canaan and they settle there, that they became unfaithful to the Lord and they suffered much because of that. That's what Samuel is talking about. And the way he characterizes it is that they forgot the Lord. That's an interesting statement. And it's one that pops up in several places in regards to what Israel did when they came into the land. Back in Judges 3, verse 7, when it sets up that Judges cycle, that the people became unfaithful to the Lord and idolatrous, and they were attacked by their neighboring enemies. It says in Judges 3, verse 7, they forgot the Lord. Psalm 78 and Psalm 106 that reference the history of Israel, both use that expression, they forgot the Lord. And so the Old Testament is telling us, this is its language, the reason why Israel departed from the Lord and suffered for it is because they forgot God. Now, what does that mean? They forgot he existed? They forgot anything about God? No, it's not the intellectual ability to recall something. There's something else occurring here. You know, think about it this way. You can forget something because it sort of just disappears from your mind, sometimes because of just the sea of information that's in there. I mean, that's been my theory for a long time. Like when you're 20 years old, how many people have you met? And then when you're 60, how many people have you met? So no wonder you struggle with names. You got more data to manage. That's natural, that data just sort of crams things. And time tends to pushes things to the back of your mind, and something that's a long ago is harder to remember. And then some people lose the ability to remember things. But then other times, things get crowded out of our minds because of our values. A man is all focused on this fishing trip he's got coming up this weekend, and he forgets that Saturday's his wife's birthday. Well, it's that second kind of forgetfulness that is akin to the forgetfulness cited here about Israel and forgetting God. It's a matter of neglect. It's a matter of priorities, which means it's not so much a matter of the mind as it is the heart, in the sense of the heart being the seat of a person and the emotions of a person and the values of a person. In other words, this is a forgetfulness because one ceases to cherish God. And so how can we learn not to do that? Well, Israel had been instructed, yes, even warned about this happening. And so what I want us to do while we're reading and studying things that are evident that they had forgotten God, I want us to go back to the warnings and instructions and guidance that God gave them through Moses that could have prevented that. I want you to go back with me, sorry, I meant to throw that up there, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. So before they took the land of Canaan and shortly before his death, Moses is instructing the Israelites. And this comes up. And I want you to look at several places where Moses connects the idea of forgetfulness of God towards to something, and how that these are the kinds of things that we have to be aware of. This will teach us how not to forget God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, Moses says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently." See, their soul, not so much mine. "Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." This is a regular refrain in this part of the Bible, that they had forgotten what they had seen the Lord do for them, going all the way back to the Egyptian bondage they were in and the great plagues that struck Egypt and the mighty wonders done through Moses' hand to the Red Sea and then bringing them into the land of Canaan. They had forgotten God because they had failed to keep in mind what he had done. What if you make two columns and you put in one column all the things you know God has done for you, and then in the other column all the things he hasn't done for you? I think all of our columns would have some unique characteristics. And for sure, something in the second column would be like, he hasn't given me great riches or handsome looks or fame and popularity or something like that. But that first column would actually be greater in quality and quantity if we were doing it accurately. God has made you in His image. He's not done that for any other living creature. He's given you a wonderful world in which to live, a marvelous one. He has providentially guided you in your life. He has given His Son to pay for your sins. He's given us the holy writings so that we can be led and taught by Him and corrected and our spirits be lifted by the Scriptures. And even this idea, though we don't always feel this, even if there are so many things that we've suffered and so many things that of which we've been deprived, that the very one item, the thing that we focused on today and that we do every first day of the week, that God gave His Son to die for us and to save us from our sins, that is the one thing that overshadows everything else. That alone is the most marvelous thing. And besides the things He's done for all of us that we could all put in that one column, there are unique things that He's done for you. There are certain people that He's placed in your life and used in your life to help you. He's delivered you through certain unique crises. He's provided at crucial times things that you had to have, things that you needed. All of us could come up with unique things like that. We have to keep remembering those things. And we forget God when we forget about what He's done for us. And when we become focused on what He's not done for us, we'll forget Him. Thankfulness toward God keeps us focused on God. Keep reading with me in Deuteronomy chapter 4, down in verse 23. Moses says this to the Israelites: "Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you." Forgetfulness. Don't forget the covenant. The covenant was the pinnacle event after a long series of marvelous events. God had promised to Abraham He would deliver His people one day out of bondage. And then all the events that transpired with Moses and the plagues and Egypt and Pharaoh and the Red Sea crossing and the wilderness wanderings, all those things, and then finally bringing them into Canaan. They wandered in a challenging wilderness even before they got to Sinai. They were needing water. It was difficult. And then He brings them to Sinai, and He gives them this covenant, and it's a marriage ceremony between the Lord and Israel. And the whole thing starts off there in Exodus 19 and Exodus 20 on the premise of God telling them, "This is what I've done for you. I have saved you from Egypt. I want to be your God. Will you be my people?" And then He gives them the law that seals the covenant. Commitment is not a bad thing. You know, if you have a job, you have an arrangement with your employer. You've got a certain job you're supposed to do in a certain way at a certain time, and then they give you certain compensation for that work. You show up and you do the job, and then they give you your compensation. If you're a Christian, you have a contract with God. I think there are some Christians who think emotionally they've got a greater obligation to their employer than they do to God. Well, that's not the case. If you've become a Christian, you actually have a contract. You have a covenant with God. That sounds sterile, doesn't it? It sounds like something that we're under some kind of obligation. Well, you sort of are. And it's because he's committed to you and he's obligated himself to you and he wants you to commit to him. It's just as marriage. Marriage is an obligation. It's a commitment. But it carries great security and joy and comfort and blessing inside that commitment. Humans see the commitment of marriage as bondage. The truth is the commitment of marriage is a blessing. So you've signed up. And if you keep that commitment in front of you, you won't forget God. But when you forget, you have a commitment to meet. You have a contract. You have an obligation. You have a bond through Christ and his new covenant. If you don't keep that in mind, you're not going to take God seriously and God's going to fade. Turning over to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, we have several statements made there. We see Moses saying similar things here to the Israelites about forgetfulness, but it's couched in different terms. In chapter 8, verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. It's amazing how many times this phrase appears. Take care that you not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. These rules and statutes and commandments make up the covenant. First, we have to understand we have a commitment to this covenant, and then we have to understand we have to follow through on the commitment, that we've got to obey the commandments. When we see God's commandments, and we have them as Christians, when we see God's instructions and commandments as arbitrary rules, they mean little to us. But when we see them as God giving us loving guidance and instructions that show us how to please him and walk with him, as we see the scriptures and what it teaches us as being the choices of all wisdom from the wisest one, then they mean everything to us. You know, we have an expression in our vernacular, I'm not feeling it. Maybe you've used it. The world says, you got to feel it and then you can do it. God doesn't talk that way. God tells us to do it, and then you know what happens? When you actually practice the commandments, then you feel it. If you're waiting for just the right feeling, well, when I feel like it, I'll do this. When it's something I want to do, when I'm feeling it, then I'll do this and I'll do that. I know God has told me to do this and to do that. No, that's not the way the arrangement is. We do what God teaches us because we love him and we trust him, and then we'll see what follows. And what follows, oftentimes when we obey God, are great feelings. Some of the best feelings. Because really, once you learn the will of God, once you disobey his will, then you get some really yucky, ugly, terrible feelings about it. If we're obeying the commandments of God because we love him, if we focus on the fact that this is what he wants us to do and I want to please him, then we won't forget him. The commandments are a way to bind us to God and keep him in front of us. We won't forget him. But you'll forget God if you don't keep his commandments, if you don't practice his commandments. It's like erasing him from your mind. It's like silencing God. God in his word instructs us. But when we silence that word, something else happens. God starts being invisible to us. We forget him. Staying in Deuteronomy 8, the next thing that Moses says in verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, this is after their entrance into the land of Canaan, And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart shall be lifted up, and you shall forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. When are we at risk of forgetting God? When in arrogant blindness we think we've provided what we have. He says in verse 14, then your heart will be lifted up. You look at what you have, you look at your situation, and then your heart is lifted up because you think somehow you are to be credited for it. Should we not see? Think about it. God made us. Should we not see that all of the knowledge that we have acquired, all the possessions we own, all the talents we have developed, come from God? It's like someone cooks a meal from wonderful produce and products that come from a great farmer. And the meal is placed on the table, and the roast looks over at the potatoes, and the potatoes, you know, have just the right amount of salt and pepper, and the butter is sort of, you know, descending off the potatoes, and the roast, perfectly cooked roast, looks over the potatoes and says, aren't we delicious? It's like a beautiful mahogany table that is crafted with all these different carvings and so forth, and this wonderful finish, deep finish and shiny finish. And that mahogany table looks down at a rug on the floor and says, look what I've done with myself. Aren't I gorgeous? Well, what about the craftsman who made the table? It's like a book on a shelf, looking over at a picture frame next to it, and the book says, look how smart I am. Look how much I know. Well, what about the author of that book? We are purely a product of what God has given us and done for us. And if we pull from Deuteronomy 8 and use that language, when we behold our food, houses, herds, flocks, silver and gold, and every aspect of our earthly life, we should see God and see God behind it every day. And if we do that, we won't forget him. But when we look at what we have acquired and we see it that way and we look at how great we've performed, we'll forget God because God becomes expendable. We don't need God. We've done quite well on our own. Israel made that mistake. Let's not forget God, but not forgetting of all that he's done for us and provided. And if you keep reading there in Deuteronomy 8, he says in verse 19, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. The other way you forget God is you pursue other gods. Very often, girlfriends and boyfriends, and even wives and husbands, depart from a relationship because of wandering eyes. Israel did not just wake up one day and say, we no longer believe in Yahweh. We don't want the Lord. We're done with him. We want this God or these gods. No, that's not what happened. As they still worshiped the Lord and called on his name, they started worshiping the other gods. That's how it happened. And as a result, the worship of the other gods diminished the Lord in their eyes, in their hearts. And they forgot him. They neglected him. They no longer cherished him. What do you look for your security? What makes you feel good about yourself? What's your escape from your problems? What makes you excited? What gives you what you want? What lifts you to a higher experience out of the mundane? Those are your gods. And they can be a variety of things. The book of Colossians in the New Testament talks about covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is not just about carved statues and bowing to them. It's about anything you look to be your God. And people still have them. We can forget God, the true God, by getting wrapped up into false gods, looking for security and affirmation and peace and fulfillment elsewhere. And here is the most important element to this matter of forgetting God. It's when we realize God has not forgotten us. Ever. Though it's far from the historical context of the books of Deuteronomy and Samuel, at the end of the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Isaiah, I call your attention to two references. But I think it's fitting because this is at the end, toward the end of the Old Testament, when Isaiah, along with these other prophets, are warning the Israelites of the consequences of them forgetting God. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21, remember these things, O Jacob, and Israel, for you are my servant. Oh, this is God speaking first person through Isaiah. I formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I know that there are some times that some people feel as if God has forgotten them. I want to explore that issue in the coming months in a couple of sermons. But suffice it to say, it is something sometimes we feel, but it's not true. And to make this even a clearer and even a point with emotion to it, Isaiah says something similar here, again, quoting first person, the Lord, where in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. The Lord compares his disposition toward Israel, how he cherishes his people, to that of a loving mother and her baby. Now, we know of cases where women do not have natural affection toward their newborns and things like that, their children. But for the most part, there is nothing like the bond between a mother and a baby. Nothing like it. And the Lord says through the prophet, even if these mothers forget their children, I will not. Which is a point being made from the extreme. We can never conceive of a loving mother ever forgetting their baby, so there's no way God would ever forget his people. And we are his people today through Christ. The Lord won't forget us. Many years ago, about 30 years ago, I was living in Louisville, Kentucky, and there was a state penitentiary nearby, and there were a couple of inmates who had become Christians, and someone else had worked with them, but he was moving, and he asked me to go and study with these guys. And so I'd go about once a month, and I would study with one or two of them at the state penitentiary. Interesting experience. I mean, you had guard towers with guys with rifles, and it was the real deal. And so you would go in, and you would sign in and sit in this waiting room, and they go and get the prisoner because they had to undress them and check them before they saw a visitor, and then undress them and check them after you visited with them. I mean, it was very high security. And it was interesting experience, and especially the waiting room was interesting. I can't ever remember. There could have been. I rarely saw a man in the waiting room. It was always girlfriends, wives, and mothers. Especially mothers. Even in prison. Matter of fact, one of the guys I studied with was in for murder. So there were some pretty heavy, serious people in there. But the mothers didn't forget them. That doesn't compare to God's love for us. And it doesn't compare to the commitment He's made to His people, the covenant He's made with us. He will never forget us. So here's the most important point of the sermon. How could we ever forget Him? The one who will never forget us. How can we forget Him? You don't accidentally forget about God. You don't just get real busy and forget about God. You don't forget about God because of some condition. You forget about God because it's your choice. Remembering God is a choice we must make every day and an action. Because remembering is an action. It's an action we take every day. And if we would, we won't forget no matter what. When I lived in Kingsport, Tennessee, we had a couple there, older couple there. Clifton and Jackie Piner. Some of you may have run into them at some point. They were in East Tennessee for decades, and Clifton was one of our elders there. Very, very devoted followers of the Lord. After I moved from Kingsport, they were aging, and so they moved from there and moved down to Middle Tennessee to live near their daughter. And Jackie developed a serious case of dementia. And after she died, Clifton and I talked on the phone several times. And one of the things he told me that she realized she was developing this dementia. And she told Clifton, they'd been married 60-some years, I think. Sounds right. She told Clifton, she said, as long as I don't forget you and God. And Clifton said, and she never did. So, 2 years ago or so, Lori's dad came to live with us. And fortunately, it only lasted a few weeks. And as you remember, he had advanced Alzheimer's. The whole time he was living with us, he never knew who I was, really. And at that point, Lori and I had been married for 38 years, had dated several years before that, and he and I had been very, very close. He was a mentor of mine, and we spent thousands of hours together, maybe, over those decades. And you know, his dementia was, his Alzheimer's was serious, because whenever he came to church, you met him for the first time. I mean, he kept introducing himself to all of you, because he couldn't remember he'd been here. And there were some rough nights we had with Harold. He never changed his personality or anything like that, but he would get agitated with the Sundowners, and he'd want to leave the house and walk home, and he just couldn't comprehend. He wasn't where he used to live. He was with us, and it was a challenge to manage him. And there were times we had to go and stand in front of the door, and there was one particular night he wanted to walk away. It's dark. He wanted to walk down the street and walk home. And in spite of us trying to explain things, it just didn't do any good. And so Lori and I both had to stand in front of the door to keep him from walking out. And he was really getting agitated at us. And he said something like, well, you're just making it to where I don't want to come visit anymore. You know, he just couldn't understand. You know, he was really aggravated. And I'm thinking, what's he going to do next? And all of a sudden, this tense moment, he goes, he puts his hands like this and he goes, well, let's pray. And he prayed for the Lord to bless Lori. He remembered her some of the time. He says, Lord, bless Lori and Jamie. So I became Jamie. I don't know who that was. We never had a Jamie in the family. I'm pretty sure Lori had never been married before, okay? It just, who knows? He couldn't even remember me. He couldn't remember where he was at. But here's one thing he remembered, that God was there and that he could pray to God. Isn't that something else? Our sister Jackie and our brother Harold taught us all we need to know, even in those diminished conditions. God is all we need to remember. Everything else is superfluous. May we be wiser than the Israelites and thank God we have their record and these instructions so we can be. Our brother Ray is going to lead us in another hymn as we sing this song together. The call of the gospel is always going out. If there's one who is convinced on the truth that Jesus is the Christ and willing to confess that and turn from sin, then we'll assist you in water baptism based on the confession that Jesus is Christ. And you can begin your walk with God and know assuredly He'll never forget you. And you can walk with the one whose love and care for you is undeniable and eternal. If we can assist you, won't you let it be known as we stand and sing?